All right, easy here for my latest partner, ExpressVPN. You're like, what the hell is that? I'll get to that. Calm down. First of all, going online without ExpressVPN is like forgetting to mute yourself on a Zoom meeting. Do you really want all of your coworkers to hear you trash talking them? Okay, so that's kind of like helping me illustrate to you what's up. Why everybody needs a VPN. Okay, so everything you do online, the shows you watch, the websites you go to, anything you do online, that gets sent to your internet service provider, including your mobile network providers. They know every single website you visit. All right? Reroute 100% of your traffic to ExpressVPN through their secure encrypted servers so your ISP cannot see your browsing history. Privacy is really big to a lot of folks, so that's why this is very, very important. ExpressVPN is the best. They hide your IP address, making it extremely difficult for third parties to track your online activity. That's important for your old pal EZ because with my setup, I can't have any compromises. My internet is so important for doing what I do that if anything affects what I do, that's trouble. That's why I use ExpressVPN. Very easy to use. You just fire up the app and click one button to get protected. Works on all of your devices too, phones, laptops, tablets, more, so you can stay private on the go. I swear by this, and my life is so much easier now that the Eric Zane Show podcast is utilizing ExpressVPN. So what you need to do is protect your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/Zane. That's expressvpn.com/Zane. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Zane. And welcome in. We are off and rolling on the Eric Zane Show podcast Patreon bonus for this, the 11th of January, 2024. My right ass cheek is hurting more than my left because of my posture when I was scooping the snow that weighs 8,000 pounds yesterday. At first, I was like, yeah, I'm not really that sore from all that, but it wasn't even that much work, but I'm so grossly out of shape that now I can feel it starting to like, fuck, shit. What a time for the goddamn snowblower to puke on me. And I just got another part of it repaired, and then something else goes. Now, in my mind, they took it apart to repair it the first time, and then they didn't put it back together right. But I can't prove that. So I walk in, drop the fucking thing. It's a pain in the ass to get it there. Like I said, I had to have my neighbor help me put it in the fucking truck, strap it in, and drive there. Get it there. You have to help me unload the thing. All right, well, I'll write it up. Then you got to pay just to have them look at it. And it's like, I feel like there should be something like some type of clause where if something goes wrong with it so soon after getting it back, even if it's a different problem. I mean, we don't know for sure. I don't know. I'm just very suspicious that them working on it the first time led to this. I'm just super suspicious, and I really shouldn't be. I hate that I am that way, but I kind of like can't help feeling that way. I want to get into this deal with Stephen A. Smith. Yesterday, Stephen A. Smith posted, "Today is the day I finally speak my mind about that no good fat bastard. You know who I'm talking about. Recording now, you will want to see this." Stephen A. Smith, sports commentator, big personality. I don't really have an opinion either way about him. I can see both why he is liked and why he is disliked. I don't, you know, like I said, I don't really hate the guy, and I don't really like the guy. Now, this is fantastic, even if you don't know who the fuck this guy is. So, and he's on like ESPN, like he's a talking head and gives his opinion. He gives his huge opinion about shit. And there's another sport reporter by the name of Jason Whitlock. That's who he's referring to. That's who he doesn't like. He's finally had it. Now, the only thing I know about Jason Whitlock was he was on a show that I used to watch called The Sports Reporters. And you get out, it was an old school show. You get guys like Bob Ryan from the Boston Globe and Mike Lupica. And then that guy from Philadelphia, Bill Conlon, who likes little kids, and Mitch Albom, and Whitlock. And they would give their opinion. They would have a discussion about whatever, national championship game. They'd like break it down. But I liked the show. And that's true about that Bill Conlon guy. Let's see. Bill Conlon pedophilia. Say Philadelphia Daily News writer Bill Conlon sexually abused them as children. I gotta show you a picture of this asshole. He looks like a guy that would be into kids. All right. Juice isn't worth the squeeze. I can't find the fucking picture. Never mind. Forget that I said that. Well, anyway, Whitlock doesn't like Stephen A., I guess. Now, I didn't hear anything about this beef. This is the first time I've heard about this. I don't follow it enough to know. But so when I pick up this story, I see that Stephen A. is getting ready to beat up Jason Whitlock. So I want to get into that now because Listen to this. And so you don't have, we don't have context. He doesn't really say what the guy did here. So for the average person who doesn't know anything about this, this is all fucking nuts.
And please do not allow this to be a reflection on my character, because this is not how I act every day. But I mean it from my soul when I say this is the worst human being I've ever known.
Okay, now. He's real, like, measured and not overly emotional like he always is. He's trying to seem, I don't know, thoughtful about this.
I don't know of another human being worse than Jason Whitlock. He is a piece of shit. He's the dude that's going to have a funeral and ain't going to be no pallbearers.
By the way, I have that fear, too.
Might be two people to show up. He's that dude. He is the absolute worst.
This is what Freebeer would say about me.
Any lies, any incriminates, any tries to set people up to fail, to big up himself because he can't do it on his own.
Okay.
He had a television show. He failed. He's had opportunities.
He had a radio show. He failed.
One time after another, he doesn't measure up. And now he's coming at the big dog. And let me tell you something right now. I am the big dog.
Okay. So, obviously, this guy's a fucking idiot. Again, I don't know what the fuck this Whitlock guy... I like the fact that he's doing all this, and we have to just assume that, take him for his word, that Whitlock is an asshole. He doesn't really tell us what he did.
I ain't the only one. There's plenty. Skip Bayless, apologies to him, too, for bringing up Jason Whitlock's name in the same sentence as him. But we all know what time it is.
No, we don't. We don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Everyone knows. All the executives at all the networks, they know what a piece of shit he is. And they begged me not to do this. But even my pastor, A.R. Bernard, said, I'm not happy about it.
Okay, the way he says that, but even my pastor, you thought he was going to say, but even my pastor wants me to do this.
But every now and then, we got to do what we got to do. I promise you, and last to my sister Carmen, I won't do this again. I promise you. I know you cringing. You didn't want me to do this. I'm sorry, sis. It was necessary.
No, it's not. Because no one knows what's going on here.
He's a sorry, fat piece of shit. A no of the worst order.
Did they edit some of that out there? A no good what?
A no of the worst order.
Yeah, they took some words out there. I don't know what. It might have been. I don't even know what it could have been.
That's who he is. And I want to make sure everybody knows that. And I said to Isaiah Thomas, and I said to Dan Le Batard, if you care anything about our friendship, don't ever call me about him again. I'm a very forgiving person. Not with him. I don't care what beef I had. I don't care how many of you out there that hate me, whatever, former athletes, all this stuff. Man, please, I'm sorry. Because I certainly don't hate y'all. We might have our differences from time to time, but ain't never that.
This is crazy.
This is the exception. I hate this bastard.
I'm laughing because these would all be excellent drops on a show. I hate this bastard. He's a fat piece of shit. Those are great drops.
Not even far more than a little bit. He is the worst human being any of you will ever meet.
Again, that's I would be pulling these drops out so quickly if I wasn't like such a loser and alone by myself. If I actually had someone that was using drops, these would be great drops.
You get within a mile of his presence. Wrap your arms around yourself to protect your soul. He is Cain.
This he is a devil. So ridiculous.
The worst. That's all I have to say. Y'all have a nice day. I'm going to go about my business. I will not speak about this piece of shit again. Peace and love.
Peace and love. Okay, that was all fucking crazy to me. This is, okay. I'm not exactly sure if this is new, but this is Jason Whitlock. Again, I'm trying to fill in blanks here. This is him. I don't know if this is right after Stephen A. spoke, if it's well before Stephen A. spoke. I don't know.
Stephen A. Smith is the Kevin Hart of the sports media.
I don't even know what that means.
Smith is a plant.
Is Kevin Hart a plant? And what's a plant? I mean, to me, a plant is like where they make stuff and it's something that grows. I don't even know what he means by that. I'm already lost.
Disney and ESPN installed Smith at the top of the sports media world because his inadequacies as a journalist make him easy to control.
He ain't lying.
When I listen to Cat Williams talk about Kevin Hart and Steve...
Okay, this is recent if he's talking about Cat Williams.
Harvey, my mind immediately drifted to Stephen A. Smith's memoir. Smith's story just doesn't add up.
But they're not telling us I only played one game because I cracked my kneecap.
1.5 points per game. How do you average that in one game? Is there a 1.5-pointer in Division II basketball?
Is that what this is all about?
Well, how do you do it?
I don't even...
It can't be done.
My nigga.
It's an impossibility. And I know I'm not great at math, but you can't average 1.5 points a game in basketball in one game.
My bone cracked in half. My first year at Winston-Salem State.
A bullshit.
Are there two Stephen Smiths that played at Winston-Salem State. Because one guy, according to the...
Is that what this is all about?
Stat sheet.
Just this, whether or not he got 1.5 points or not?
Played 9 games, and the guy on TV is saying he never played a game. Well, the guy on the right is Big House Gaines, the coach, who, again, Stephen A. Smith, in his memoir, claims that, oh, Big House Gaines was like a father figure. I sat in his office, and we talked, and he was my mentor, and he's my guide, and he's this and that. Big House Gaines, in his book, no mention of Stephen A. Smith.
Okay, so to the average person here, which is you and I, Stephen A. looks like a fucking clown, in my opinion. Aaron with the comment about Stephen A. dramatic much. Yes. Oh my God. What a way to live with all that hype and acting and hyperbole and over the top. Stevie again represents me, represents you. She says, who the hell is he talking about? I never heard of either of these dudes. The only reason why it's worth playing is because of first of all, the fact that he takes all this time because his ego is so big to blister this guy, thinking that anyone even gives a shit, and no one does. Aaron says he's a very popular loudmouth sports commentator, which to me isn't saying much. You know, a sports commentator, big deal. Chris says Whitlock questioned a number of things in Stephen A.'s memoir. This is a follow-up. You know, I'm starting to wonder if all of these beefs that take place, if they're not all works, maybe we are the ones getting played. Because now I've taken the time to introduce you to these two. Maybe this is kind of like a little bit of pro wrestling cloak and dagger shit going on. Maybe that's what's happening with Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Kimmel and Pat McAfee. Maybe, just maybe, they're all in on it. You want to talk about conspiracies? All right, here's your conspiracy. If you want to generate some interest, generate some heat. Wouldn't that be something? Now, I really don't believe that. I believe that these people actually do hate each other. But at the end of the day, there is that statement. At the end of the day, it all moves the meter. It's interesting. It's something to talk about, which is kind of what we all live for, you know, I guess. Stevie says we're supposed to get dumped on with snow. Could be a foot. She says, you know, it's going to be bad when Al Roker mentions your city on the National Weather Report. I saw that too. Holy shit, did I see that? And that's the first thing I thought. So I was seeing the description of this bubble of cold air way up in Canada. And it's supposed to dip down all the way to Texas, where Texas will be below zero. Now, in between Texas and Michigan is Kenny. You're going to fucking freeze. Son of a bitch. Here, we're kind of used to it. No big deal. Speaking of cold, we are considering this summer a trip so far away that when I get to the destination, it would be a good idea to change the oil on the RV when I get there. So it's knocking on the door of a 4,000-mile trip from right here in Hudsonville. Travel across the country. One of two ways. We might stay low in the country and hit some of the tourist spots like Yellowstone and Mount Rushmore, and then head up north to Banff, Alberta, Canada. Holy shit. I need to show you images of Banff, Alberta, Canada. Wow. Some unbelievable, majestic, mountainous scenery. Look at this little town. That's out of a movie, it looks like. Holy shit. My God. The hiking. The things to do. The fun. Son of a bitch. Things to do in Banff. Which, that's how you say it. Banff. B-A-N-F-F. Banff, Alberta. It's like they dropped this hamlet town right on, like, in one valley of these gigantic mountains. Of course, there won't be nearly as much snow. It'll probably be like this. You know, I think the average high in July is like 72 degrees. Okay. Winter time, you're going to do winter sports. I'm not going there in the winter. Fuck that. We're going to drive to Banff. Holy shit. That is the plan. So this is quite a haul where you're looking at three 11-hour days of driving. 3 days there, 11 hours a pop, 3 days back. We're looking at, I think, 14 days total of time between when we leave my driveway to when we pull into my driveway. 6 of those 14 days we'll be driving. So that's a lot. I mean, it's kind of a grind, but we'll make it. So I'm planning the trip right now. It's looking like it'll be the Queen of the Forest, EZ, Jacqueline, and Justin. Now, the way we work this is we say, hey, we're going on a trip. Who wants to go? They all go, we'll go. All the kids. And I say, all right, we're going to leave on this date, and we're going to come back on this date. Well, yeah, but I can't get time off, and I'm going to be doing this, so can you do it? No, no, no. I'm telling you 6 months in advance. This is the trip. This is when we leave. This is when we come home. It's up to you to do what you need to do to be on that trip. If you can't do that, you're out. I'm offering you free trip. All you have to do is make your arrangements. Reason why I'm like this is because I've gone down this road before of trying to please everybody. So now, because that's always been a complete colossal fucking disaster. Now this is what I say. Circle this date on the calendar. Here's when we're leaving. Here's when we come home. You don't have to do one thing. You sit there, you enjoy the trip to an absolute utopia destination, and you don't have to do anything but have fun. What's in it for me? I don't have to accommodate you. I'm doing this. Aram says, how many people can fit in the RV? Are some going to get stuck driving behind the RV? No. We can sleep, believe it or not, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We can sleep. If we had 8 adults and 2 kids, we could sleep all. We could accommodate all of that. So I make all this available. I say, okay. All you have to do is show up with a bag and a toothbrush. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything else. Everything else is taken care of. Your food, your shelter. We're gonna be pulling a car. It's gonna be awesome. Jackie, Justin can do it. Everybody else, fuck you. You're out. You are ouse. Out. Out. Ouse. Out. Kenny says, shit, I'll go. Tell me when. Linda says, I'll go and entertain Diana. Chris wants to go too. Wouldn't that be something? Stevie says, that is incredibly generous, Eric. Well, it's not really. I mean, we're driving there. I'm going to get there one way or the other. And, you know, you park the RV at the fucking thing, and it's you still got to pay for the spot. So it's really not that big of a deal. You know, what's interesting is in Canada, your dollar goes a lot further. Like for every dollar you have U.S., that's like $1.40 Canadian. So to stay at the RV park in the middle of Banff, Alberta, it's 70-something dollars Canadian, but like 50-something dollars U.S. So that's a fucking, that's awesome. Now, the gas is fucking expensive. There's no question. We're talking thousands of dollars in fuel. Justin and Jackie will probably throw in a tank here and there. A tank of gas on that fucking thing is like $200, but you know, it'll take you like 500 miles. Linda says she'll chip in for gas. Okay, the only way you can go is if you let me film you and Diana doing a 69. That's the only way. You have to pay with sex. You're probably not going to be interested. I don't think I can convince her either. I'm sorry. I'm probably going to make Cutie Patootie all hot and bothered. Nick says, do you make the kids sleep in a tent outside the RV? That's a great idea. Get the fuck out. Nah, we don't do that. Anyway, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited about it. Linda says, Jesus, Eric. Stevie says, what happens if someone wants sexy time? Yeah, I don't. I hope not. Aaron says, I could do a couple days in an RV with my parents. After that, I'd have to get a hotel room just to have some peace. Now, we're easy, man. I like that peace, too. So I try to make it as normal as possible to have the peace. I would need a break from Jackie. Jackie's the fucking ass kicker. Nick says you're not going to get any booty then. Well, that's no different than right now. Okay, that's the way it is now. Diana and I are completely sexually dysfunctional. That is a fact. All right. Sorry, Linda. Hope you're not mad at me. I was just teasing. Everybody thought that John Krasinski was going to get a divorce because of this video right here. Audio check, video check. All right, hang on.
Good evening, everyone.
That's not
it. My name is Stephen Gibb. And
that is so not the video I want. It's this video. Okay, so some internet sleuths. Watch it one more time. Okay, he just said, his mouth said something. Somebody like was able to isolate it and determine that he said, I can't wait to get a divorce. And she said, she looked at him and he said, I'm serious. And she said, wait, right now? He says, I can't wait to get a divorce. I'm serious. And she says, you mean right now? Him and Emily Blunt. She's so pretty, by the way. And he's so handsome. So somebody like freaked out. All these internet sleuths are like, oh my God, he's getting a divorce and he just announced it. What a bunch of assholes. God damn. That's not what he said. She had said earlier, boy, it is chilly out. And he said, I can't wait to get indoors. And everybody ran with it, thinking that he said, I can't wait to get a divorce. Jesus, what a bunch of fucking idiots. Hang on a second. By the way, the head coach of Oregon is on his way to Alabama already to interview for the job.
Hello.
Hey, it's Eric Zane, Eric Zane Show Podcast.
Hi, Eric Zane.
Are you mad at me about the Diana 69 crack?
No, but I'm glad that the audio isn't playing because my son is in the truck now. So.
Oh. God. All right, never
mind. And I'm on the phone, so he can't hear it.
Okay.
Why did you think I was mad?
Well, because you wrote Jesus, Eric, and I thought, well, she could have taken that poorly.
Well, you know me.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Roll Tide. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Bye.
There you go. I hate thinking that someone's actually pissed at me. That's how that works. Chris says, LOL, they seem like the perfect couple. They are. I love those two. A lot of people say that about Diana and I. We're like the perfect couple. It's true. It's true. We're the perfect couple. All right, I covered John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. She was in Oppenheimer, by the way. She was very good. Yeah, I really liked that movie. I mean, it was horrible, but I loved it. I'm a sucker for dialogue movies, and that's what that was. And then Christopher Nolan even had a twist in it. I think the best performance in that film was Robert Downey Jr., if you haven't seen it yet, which, by the way, you can rent it on Amazon right now for like $6. It's a great film. Historically accurate for the most part, too. There has been a change at one of your favorite stores. Sam's Club has decided they are no longer going to, you know how you got all your shit in there? And then you walk up. I still don't know how this works. I've never known how this works. You give them the receipt. They don't look at what's in there. And they just draw with a fluorescent marker on the receipt and they hand it back to you. And you're like, what happened? Now, are they supposed to take the receipt and look at what's in there and say, okay, there's that, there's that, there's that, go. Now you get the fluorescent marker, off you go. Is that what is supposed to happen? Because I've never had that happen. That you just hand it to them. They go, hey, thanks, marker, give it back. Or is it like the store hates having to do that, but corporate makes them do it, and they just kind of like, yeah, we don't give a shit what you do. I don't know. But it's annoying as fuck. They do the same exact thing at Costco. I'm a Costco guy. If there was a Sam's Club and not a Costco, I'd be a Sam's Club guy. I don't give a shit. As long as there's a place that's a warehouse that I can go get my shit and go through the line and see all the workers who are always good looking. You ever notice that? The workers at Costco and Sam's Club are attractive people who don't look like mongoloids. They're actually normal people. You know, like when they, you know, you get somebody who looks like Stu McAllister goes to Sam's Club and says, yeah, hey, I'm here to get a job. And they say, hey, okay, got your application. We got just the spot for you. We're going to put you over to the Walmart. And then you get somebody who looks like me and they go, hey, hey, you are Sam's Club material. Come on in. I think they take the ugly, inbred, disgusting people and put them to the Walmart. And the Sam's Club gets the attractive people like your old pal EZ. But anyway, they do the same fucking thing at Costco with the stupid marker. There's a new, I guess AI has made it so that they don't need that anymore. Oh. It was an announcement made just this week. The big boss says, all right. It was during a keynote speech to all these rich fucks. No longer do we need someone at the door, excuse me, with the fluorescent marker to give them a check. I'm not even kidding. It says customers will shop as normal, and instead of stopping at the door to have the receipt checked, computer vision and digital technology at the exit will take photos of carts to verify that all items were paid for. Now, I don't believe that. Are you telling me that when I walk out, something's going to look at the cart and it's going to match up with a recent purchase just by looking at it? I kind of like walking out and having a person there because usually there's something dramatic, or once in a while something dramatic will happen in that line out where somebody stops behaving appropriately and loses their patience. We need that. We need that type of entertainment for our shopping experience, frankly. A demonstration showed two customers walking through the exit. One customer used the store's Scan and Go app, and the other paid at a register. The process worked the same for both shoppers. So I don't know about the Scan and Go app. My guess is you walk through the store, you scan, you've got money in your account. You pay for the shit and just leave. That's cool. With AI working in the background to continually speed the process, the digital innovation not only streamlines a member's exit, but also allows exit greeters to refocus their time and expertise to assist members in ensuring they have an enjoyable shopping experience. They are piloting the technology at 10 stores, but have plans to roll it out by the end of this year. Nothing's faster, though, than the 16-year-old kid at Aldi. Going through the store at Aldi to check out. You know that those people that work there, they get bonuses if their times stay at a certain level. So you put your shit up there and they just scan, drop. It's remarkable how fast they are. How unbelievably fast you get through the fucking line. And none of that bag shit either. They just throw it in the fucking cart and you get the fuck out of here. You either take the cart out to your car and throw all the shit in your car without a bag, or you bring your own fucking bags, or you buy your bags if you want, or you go, or when you're going through the store, you just grab a couple of fucking boxes. That's what your old pal EZ does every time. Kenny is a fan of Scan and Go at Sam's Club. He says it's awesome. Awesome stuff. Aaron says, I find Meyer to be the opposite when it comes to attractiveness. No, you're right. I guess Bruce was doing something in the background described as propped his butt up on Darla. I see that now. Those two are an absolute hilarious couple. They're pals forever. Ladies and gentlemen, that is my time. I appreciate you once again. Thank you so much for being part of the Eric Zane Show podcast right here on Patreon. One day closer to the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. And who are these free beers coming up on Saturday? Talk to you tomorrow, folks. Have a good one. Thank you. Bye-bye. Hello. Welcome in. Kenny thing. He says, live as hell, man. Hey, Ted, you're live as hell. Oh, my God. This is great, Ted. Feeling very zenith-y here. A little different than the other issues I have. I have an issue with that machine right there for this, that, and then this one, too. It's all, like, whacked out. Hello? Check, check. Does it work? Hello? Yeah, live as hell. Speaking of that, the Patreon schedule for tomorrow is 2 p.m. We are now set on 2 p.m. Big Fraud Saturday. Open it up with who are these free beers, including a breakdown of Free Beer's hair. You won't believe his fucking hair. It's, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I do. It looks like shit. This is just the worst thing you're ever going to see. Definitely something that you need to see. I'll include photos for the audio audience. But wait until you see what he's doing to his hair. Oh, my God. He looks like a retarded version of the character for Dutch Boy Paint. Two p.m. start Eastern time for who are these free beers? I tipped off Linda about the hair. I tipped off Ben about the hair. I tipped off Pooh Bear about the hair, and that's all the tipping I could do. Let's just put it this way: he's letting it grow out, and it looks so bad. He looks. I don't know how to explain it. It's similar to Trump. I'll break it down with Ben. We've got some real thoughts about it. Ben even took it to the Freebird and Hot Wing Show subreddit. I'm not allowed on that thing. I've been banned some time ago. But there was some discussion about something going on there. And then out of the blue, Ben writes, since we're talking free beer, what's up with his hair nowadays? Someone wrote, the midlife crisis continues. Yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, he's got a 35-year-old gold-digging wife. And I don't know. Maybe she likes that type of... it looks ratty. It looks ratty, greasy, and homeless. You got to see this. We will debut Free Beer's haircut, or how his hair looks, how he's growing it out on Saturdays. Who are these Free Beers? It is beyond fucked up. Breaking news. Diana writes, whatever my brother warmed up for lunch smells like shit. I literally thought one of the dogs farted. Diana is home. There's no school today because they expected such a problem with the snowfall. So she's downstairs getting the full effect of the NFK. And I guess he just heated up something that just smells like shit. James P. in Granville says, kind of like Michael Gray's hair these days. I haven't seen. Is it? I thought it looked this. I'm guessing it looks the same. Maybe not. That's the thing about a midlife crisis. Like when you get this scenario that my man Freebeer is in right now, you know, still in love with his first wife. Immediately, like he was, I think the timeline was, after he announced on the radio that his divorce was final, within 2 or 3 weeks, he was engaged. Now, we all know that this is a disaster. Freebeer needed someone in his life at that point to smack the shit out of him. And nobody did. So he marries this gold digger. And now he's fucked. So his fortune first was cut in half. And now it's going to be cut into a quarter because the gold digger is going to get that money. I know a lot about the gold digger because the gold digger's ex-husband is a friend of the show, Coleman. And man, Greg is so fucked. So this sick bitch, no doubt, wants him to grow his hair out. Now, Greg is a ugly, ugly dude to begin with. This makes him look even uglier. So there is a good portion of tomorrow's show. We'll be talking about Greg's fucked up hair. Trying to find different characters and actors and trolls and shit and Lord of the Rings ghouls that look like him. As we sit here, we're waiting for this stupid snow to start. Linda says, if he doesn't have a kid with her, he should be okay. Michigan is not an alimony state. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Let's hope he has a kid with her. He needs that in his life. He needs a girl in his life to make things a little bit more interesting. So they said that the snow was going to start around 10 a.m. here in West Michigan. And it hasn't started at all. So right away, I'm like, okay, here we go. Is this going to be yet another big... I mean, they have been talking this one up more than anything else that I've heard. Even more so than the one last year when I went out of my way and freaked out and bought the generator. So we shall see. Linda says it just started snowing. She says where she is in Lansing. She says they were way off on the snow start time here. They said 10 a.m. and it started 15 minutes ago. Same thing here. We're starting to get it. Nothing. I mean, it's just kind of blowing around. It's not like a big wallop yet. We shall see. You may have noticed on the start of this show, I included a picture of two members of one of my favorite bands. Well, it's pretty much, that's all that's in the band these days. The Black Crowes. That is Rich Robinson with the guitar and his brother Chris Robinson. Now, these two hated each other for a while. Chris Robinson is one of the biggest assholes in the music industry. Everybody hates Chris Robinson. He is a total fucking dick. He's got a hard-on for everybody. If any of you have read the book by former Black Crowes drummer Steve Gorman, you will know what I'm talking about. Gorman has all sorts of stories from their past of this guy's dickish behavior. And just a bristly prick, by all accounts. Nobody has anything nice to say about Chris Robinson. They have new material out. They just dropped a brand new song called Whatever, Whenever, What Is It? Wanting and Waiting. Now, despite Chris Robinson being an asshole, I love the Black Crowes. Their sound has pretty much been unchanged over the years, and that's one of the things I love about them. That's dirty. That is dirty, greasy rock and roll. That's Rich Robinson. You add in the Hammond organ right there. Here comes Chris coming around and go.
Now no more the Sunday since I could make a smile. Trying to lose my lonely and self-imposed exile.
Oh, shit.
Trying to stay friendly, but feeling so hostile. It's like I'm cold to the
your mouth.
I've been so lost on my own since the day you said goodbye. I know we don't stand a chance. Forgive me, give me this
hand clap. New Black Crows, Wanting and Waiting, the name of that song. The album is called Happiness Bastards. I want to send Phil in Wayland a request. Period. I'm talking on my podcast about New Black Crows material. And I started thinking about the story about you and Chris Robinson on his tour bus, period. Can I call you and you tell that fucking story again? Question mark. Okay, comma, if no, period. I've told that story before, but Phil tells it better. God damn. His, like one of his favorite artists of all time, the Black Crows. Chris Robinson shows up in town. This is years ago. I think he's playing the fucking Intersection or some shit. With, I forgot, one of his projects he was doing that didn't quite pan out the way he wanted to. And, Phil has been dying to get a face-to-face with his idol. Don't they always say you never are supposed to meet your idols? Something bad can happen. Like if you meet your idols, you're going to end up hating your idols. Or something bad's going to happen when you go to meet your idols. Isn't that what they say? Well, that happened to fucking Phil. I'm going to give him a short amount of time to get back to me. If he does not get back to me, I'm going to tell the story. I will not blue ball you. But I am excited about their new material. The Black Crows are back. This album does not drop until the middle of March, but they put the single out in the last 24 hours. There you go. I was always, it seems like Robinson, just everything... around with that guy, everything was like always an issue. He's always getting into fights with people and his brother, and he's married to what the name is her chick, that chick Goldie Hawn's daughter. He's married to her. Then that fucking fell apart. He fucked that whole thing up. Every time you turn around, he was doing something that would like sabotage himself in some way. Maybe that's why I like him. I don't know, but I am excited about the album. Closer to Home. the community of Walker, Michigan, the Meijer store. You may have seen this one. Some asshole goes in there and tries to rob the Meijer. Well, he did. He didn't rob the Meijer. He stole a bunch of shit. Kate Hudson is her name. That's it. And the store knew that he was something was up, and they watched him leave the store, and then they tried to track him, you know. And so then they called the cops, and then they lost him, and then the cops looked all around for him. They couldn't find him. This is the Meijer on Lake Michigan Drive. Not that far from here, really. And pitch blackout. It was last night. 3 hours later, the lady is sitting at home. Got her feet up. Fire's going. She's watching whatever the fuck is on TV. Dog snuggled up next to her. And she hears something. She's not sure what. Like, what the fuck is that? She opens up the sliding glass door and she hears, "Help! Help me! Help!" What the fuck? A little bit of time passes. It's getting, "Help! Help!" What the fuck? She calls the cops. Cops come over there. They hear it. And then they, all right. They got to start trudging through darkness and whatever and God knows what. And then as they approach the area, it gets real marshy. A marsh. Well, the guy with all this shit, all this stolen shit still on him, like slung over his shoulder, he ran into this marsh and he got stuck. He's like up to, it's like quicksand. It's up to his waist and he can't fucking move. Like his feet are so stuck in the bottom of this silt marsh that it's like, if you were to pull it out, it would be like, like the same noise when Amanda yanks one of her dildos out of her. Like that boots stuck in mud sound. He's stuck. He can't get out. Cops do what they need to do. I think they like strap the fucking things around him and like kind of pull them out. Chris says, "Yeah, it's a mess back there. I used to play paintball back there." Wait a minute. And you have not joined us in paintball yet? Kenny says, "Like the swamps of sadness from the Never-Ending Story." Kenny says, "I won't get that reference." You know, I get that reference because I already made the best reference about his foot being making the noise when they pulls it out as Amanda's dildo. So I know exactly what that is. Just by context, I can figure it out, you fuck. Anyway. He's fucking busted. He had to go to the hospital, too. 31-year-old from Middleville. Came all the way from Middleville to rob the Meijer. Taken into custody for stealing merchandise over $2,700. He was taken to the hospital for cold exposure. Yeah, you know, seriously, that marsh that he was in, it had to be like just above freezing, and it's fucking freezing out now. So you have, you know, a short amount of time before you're going to dip into hypo, and then that's it. You're done. My God. Which reminds me, before this, I was just fucking around. I spend a lot of my time in between shows just reading shit that I stumble upon, going down wormholes in the internet. And one of the things I oftentimes go down is that Quora, Q-U-O-R-A. And there was a story about the guy on the Titanic who was the ship's baker. And when when the ship was like sinking and they're putting the life boats out, during the inquiry, the safety inquiry back in England after it, because he lived, this baker. How did he live? He wasn't on a lifeboat. How did you survive? Why didn't you go on a lifeboat? And he said, well, you know, we were doing the old women and children. Did you help put women and children onto boats? Yes. Why did you not get on the boat? Well, because of that reason. I would then go back to my quarters and drink. And then I would come back, help more people, and then I need another drink. I would go back, get another drink. So he estimates he drank like 8 or 9 drinks. By the time the boat was going in the water. Now, they're shocked that he lived, because when the boat showed up to pull people out, he was like Jack. He was in the water. He wasn't on a fucking life vest or anything. He was in the fucking water. How did he live? Because not only is it very, very difficult to live when you're not drunk, but when you're drunk, your system puts all the your blood vessels constrict a certain way or some shit, and you will shorten your lifespan in the cold when you're drunk. Okay, so they described it as he goes into the water drunk, and the blood is like in all of his extremities, or it's close to his chest, one or the other. And then the water counterbalanced the effects so that it's kind of like between the cold water and the amount of booze, they determined, is what saved his life. And he was in no pain because he was so fucking hammered. So he's laying there in the goddamn water, floating. Oh, ah, yeah, fuck yeah. He was like immune to death. And he laid there for 2 hours treading water. And sure enough, they plucked him out and he was fucking fine. Incredible. You can look it up. I will give you the link for that. You can fact check me. All right. Mel Tucker is in the news. Of course, the Michigan State football coach was hoping for just a normal year of just shitty play. And it all went crazy when it was revealed that the woman that was hired by the school to teach the football team about the do's and don'ts with how to behave and how to treat women was on the other end of the phone with the coach, and he started to pound his pud. And she could hear him pounding his pud. And he's like holding the phone up to his wet dick so that she can hear the smacking. And that all came out this year. And he was promptly fired. How fucking crazy is that, by the way? You bring in the chick to try to help give the illusion that the school cares about people. You know, after the Nassar thing and all that covering up they did and all the crazy shit that's gone on in athletics with beating people up, they bring in this chick to finally end all of this. And the coach pounds his pud on the phone with her. As you know, she filed a complaint with the school in 2022 saying that Tucker did what he did. Several months later, she filed a complaint with the school's Office for Civil Rights and Title IX Education. Once the allegations were made public in September, that was the end of Tucker. Suspended, then fired. The school said it terminated Tucker after he subjected the institution to ridicule, breaching his contract, and moral turpitude. You know, if someone says that, when they throw in the word breaching his contract and moral turpitude, how embarrassing is that? You just want to get away. He, though, had filed an appeal on the findings in the sexual harassment case. An attorney hired by the East Lansing School as an equity review officer said in a decision yesterday or Wednesday, Tucker, in fact, has failed to provide information that proved error or bias. So his appeal with the school has been denied. One of many legal defeats that will come his way, no doubt. Brenda Tracy. Brenda Tracy is, of course, that woman. She, in a post, said she thanked those who say believed and supported her. It's been a 13-month-long nightmare. Tucker was found responsible for sexual harassment and exploitation, and today his appeal was denied. Tucker was in the third year of a $95 million 10-year contract. He was due to earn about $80 million remaining on the deal. Oh, my God. You know, what's interesting, not everybody knows this, but Mel Tucker began his coaching career under the tutelage of anybody? Under the tutelage of Nick Saban. He returned to the school with one of the biggest contracts in college sports after leading Colorado for one season and serving as an assistant coach at Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State. God damn. What an unbelievable crash down to earth that was for Mel Tucker. Linda says, here we go. I will say this. When you look at the success of Nick Saban and the success of Bill Belichick, the success of Nick Saban in college, to me, is more impressive than the success of Bill Belichick in the pros. That is true. I don't buy the Belichick thing. It was Brady. I don't care what anybody tells me. Okay. EZ is talked out for the day. Be safe, safe in your travels. I will talk to you tomorrow at 2 p.m. for Who Are These Free Beers? Hair Today, Gone Tomorrow edition. And then the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. Thank you so much for being part of this. I'll talk to you down the road. Bye-bye. Show Patriot bonus podcast. Buddy. Oh, haha. You notice my couch cover. Oh my God, look at that. It's awesome. It is a Detroit Lions couch cover. You've seen the couch behind me before. It's where the dogs hang out. Sorry about not having them here today, but they're with mom. Mom's got the day off. No school today. Not a snow day, just an in-service day. Dogs normally are on the bed. Now they will be on the world-famous Detroit Lions couch cover couch. I got that for Christmas. And it just looks spectacular. Dinah came in here and it was still in its package. You know, it would probably have stayed there until next Christmas, knowing me. Let's just get after this. She took it out of the package, put it on there for me. She loves me. Looks great, by the way. My gosh. I have to apologize in advance because I normally like to spend north of 30, 35 minutes with you. It's MLK Day today. That's right. I actually knew that. I don't know why I thought that. Obviously, I'm not really committed to the holiday. I probably should be. Makes sense, right? I have to apologize to you, though, because the MLK Day. We are doing the matinee basketball game, which means I need to be leaving the house like relatively soon. And the way it lays out for me today, well, EZ, why don't you do it after the basketball game? Hey, I'm with you. I don't like to be rushed. I don't like doing shows that are shorter than the time that I like to do them. Queen of the Fourth says, will you drive me to the store? I just want to get some groceries. I go, of course. I like being the helper, you know? And then she comes back. She goes, well, maybe I can make it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe. Yeah, of course. So, after the basketball game, that's in the works. And then I promised old Doug over at, over at Bosco's Pub that I would come in there for the dinner service tonight. 5 p.m. start time. So Easy is booked up to the gills. So that's where we sit. Some follow-up, though, on that big football game. Matt Stafford was asked about if he's happy for the city of Detroit. And I was a little surprised at this. It might be because he was booed before the game. Matt Stafford, in a very serious moment, they asked him, hey, you know what? Are you happy for the fans of the Motor City? You know, they haven't won. And this is his response.
When Sean McVay was up here, he said that he was happy for Jared Goff and whatnot through their time together. You've been here in Detroit for your first 12 seasons. Just mm-hmm. How do you feel about the city of Detroit? You know,
I'm happy for the players. Happy for those guys.
Matt, you showed.
Okay. Ouch. I'm happy for the players.
When Sean McVay was up here, he said that he was happy for Jared Goff and whatnot through their time together. You've been here in Detroit for your first 12 seasons. Just mm-hmm. How do you feel about the city of Detroit? No. Now
I'm happy for the players.
Oh, no. I'm happy for the players. Now, that's a different tone. By the way, he's wearing a Carhartt. That's a different tone when he left. He was, I love you so much. And now he says, yeah, I'm happy for the players. This person writes, did he expect a standing ovation? Zero playoff wins? This person says, it wasn't personal, Matt. You were trying to steal something very precious to the city. Meanwhile.
Joke. You fell for it.
That's Stephen A. Smith on Get Up this morning. Stephen A. Smith is always dogging the Dallas Cowboys. And this man is insufferable. Even I think this is too much.
Joke. You fell for it, didn't you? You fell for it, didn't you? You actually thought y'all were going to win some playoff games. You actually thought that there was going to be the first time that you were going to be in the NFC Championship game in about 30 damn years. That's what they thought Shay Shay did. That's he's what talking they thought.
He's talking to Black Porky Pig Shannon Sharp.
That's what they thought,
Stephen E.
I say skip.
That's what they thought.
You fell for it, didn't you? You fell for it, didn't you? You actually thought y'all were going to win some playoff games. You actually thought that there was going to be the first time that you were going to be in the NFC Championship game in about 30 damn years. That's what they thought Shay Shay did. That's what they thought.
They fell for it.
They heard us talking about idiot. How they the number two seed. They had home court advantage. They had all of this going for the club, Shay Shay. But we warned them. We spent the entire season warning them. And then I shifted gears and I got their hopes up all the way up there before it came crashing down. Didn't I tell you, Shay Shay?
Yeah, it's almost like he takes the fun out of Dallas losing.
Didn't I tell you, bro?
It hurt.
It really did, didn't it? Hey, guess what, Shay Shay? It don't hurt more than what I'm about to show you right now. Kick my music, please.
They made a goddamn song with all of the shit of him shit talking.
Mediocre team and Big D. That's what makes this funny. How about them Cowboys? How about them Cowboys?
Some way, somehow,
when it counts, just wait. They will let you down.
Accident, they will mess it up. Just wait.
Now, considering what happened to the Lions, you know, this is fine. I mean, I'm happy that the Cowboys lost. I'm happy that Cowboy fans are just so pissed off because they had a strong season and they finished like this in embarrassing fashion. I don't think I can like Stephen A. What with the crazy rant last week, which, boy, did that, in my opinion, lay flat. His takedown of, I even forgot the fucker's name now. And then this, it's not much fun. It is not just fun. It is not much fun at all. Stevie says, why is he yelling, God, shut up? Linda says, I can't stand that guy. Megan says he's annoying. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. You know what else is annoying? A local organization known as Bethany Christian Services. Now, I know very little about this organization, but I can give you some insight. It is a faith-based service, social service agency. They get government funding to provide foster care and refugee services. All right. So that type of realm. Keeping people from falling through the cracks, foster care, and then maybe people coming in refugee status from other countries, they can be supported by an organization called Bethany Christian Services. Now, all of that sounds fantastic. Well, this is the type of thing that can take something that should be as sweet as that, helping people that are vulnerable, into kind of a fucked up scenario. Because they have decided, like with the flip of a switch, that they will now only, they have a hiring practice now where you cannot be hired to work there unless you are Christian. And you are not allowed to, like if you're sitting at your desk and you got like a fucking pride flag or something like that. If you don't get rid of the pride flag, you're going to be fired. All right. Let's get to the bottom of this. Sounds a little.
Turmoil tonight inside a West Michigan institution that cares for 80,000 people yearly and employs 2,000 workers worldwide. Grand Rapids-based Bethany Christian Services serves a vulnerable and diverse population, including global refugees. But Target 8 has learned the agency staff will no longer reflect the diverse faiths of its clients. Target 8 investigator Susan Samples reports BCS has begun enforcing a strict hiring policy. If you're not Christian, you need not apply. And that's not the only change staff says has pitted workers in the trenches against those at the top.
When Afghanistan collapsed, Bethany Christian Services, recognized as an official resettlement partner of the U.S. government, helped to pick up the pieces.
Bethany took in a ton of kids in the refugee program of kids through Afghanistan.
We're disguising this worker's identity because BCS banned staff from talking to media about changes that came with a new CEO in July. Prior leaders had allowed exceptions to the agency's Christians-only hiring mandate. But those days are gone at an agency that receives taxpayer dollars and, back in 2021, welcomed hundreds of Afghan refugees, including children.
If we didn't have people at Bethany that were Muslim, I can't imagine how that would have gone with those kids. We would have been, like, in over our heads, even more than we already were. How is it fair to these kids to then say, well, you're going to a place where everyone maybe believe something different than you, and you don't see yourself in anybody there?
Staff, according to this employee, was blindsided by the sudden enforcement of the hiring dictate.
I think a lot of people were in denial at first of, like, they can't get away with this. There's no way that they can do this.
That depends to a degree on whom you ask. Under federal law, faith-based organizations are exempt from U.S. laws banning religious discrimination in employment.
There you go. They can do what they want.
The Supreme Court has ruled that exemption covers not just ministers, but any employee who acts in a ministerial role.
We're seeing more faith-based organizations or employers arguing that anybody that they employ is...
This is Jay Kaplan from the ACLU of Michigan. I have a feeling Jay Kaplan used to be Janet Kaplan.
Considered a ministerial employee.
That's just not so, says Jay Kaplan of the Michigan ACLU. And when it comes to foster care, adoption, and refugee workers at Bethany Christian,
they're not engaging in ministerial functions, nor under their contract with the state of the Michigan should they be doing that sort of thing.
It is a well-established fact that a religious organization can advance its religious mission by hiring people who share the same faith.
Steve McFarland of the Christian Legal Society says BCS is well within its rights. Consider the agency's mission statement, which declares it's committed to demonstrating the love and compassion of Jesus Christ.
Not everybody has.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. It says right there, the love and compassion of Jesus Christ. So it would make sense that it would say help wanted. No Jews. I mean, or help wanted. No Muslims. I wish that they would be that out front, because clearly they can do this because of the reasons that they already discussed. But, you know, that's basically what they're saying there.
As a right to a job at a religious organization. I don't have a right to be hired by a Muslim mosque. I don't have a right to display a Palestinian flag if I'm an employee at an Orthodox Jewish synagogue.
Indeed, Bethany Christian also banned in recent months workplace displays of support for LGBTQ plus people or any politically charged movement like Black Lives Matter.
We're not talking about a public park or some other forum where free speech kicks in. There is not a free speech right at a private workplace.
In this December email, BCS.
So, you know, I mean, I get it. And they're right. I think they talk in the article that also goes for you can't have a MAGA flag either.
Told staff it had been informed of numerous instances of Grand Rapids-based employees failing to follow the new policy banning such displays. The email ordered staff to take the items home ASAP and said failing to do so will result in discipline. Employees say BCS already fired several managers, citing the official reason as insubordination. When Target 8 requested an on-camera interview with Bethany's new CEO, Keith Cureton, the agency responded with a brief statement instead, in which it appeared to defend the firings, writing that its employees remain accountable for performing in a satisfactory manner the assigned duties of their position.
I think there's a lot of fear of being without a job, fear of retaliation.
This Bethany.
That's, yeah, of course there would be.
The employee says several workers have quit in protest over the newly enforced policies and of the debate over their legality.
The question is not, can you? I don't doubt that they can. The question is, should you? Should you do that? Should you?
Well, that's irrelevant.
Exclude people.
They did.
BCS has told staff it will not fire non-Christians who already work there, but it won't hire any more unless it's on an as-needed temporary contract basis. The state's attorney general tells me it's aware of what's going on there and is reviewing it, as is the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Target 8 investigator Susan Samples.
In fairness, the printed article mentions the MAGA thing, but that audio video story did not. In recent months, BCS, Bethany Christian Services leadership banned workplace displays of support for LGBTQ plus individuals and other politically divisive moments. The way they said it was, you cannot have any flags, like a pride flag, a BLM flag, recalled the employee, but you also cannot have a MAGA or 1776 flag. What's wrong with the 1776 flag? I didn't realize that was a problem. What about that wacky flag, the wacky yellow flag with the dumb snake on it? Can you get away with that one? I don't think you can. I think that means you're an asshole too. I don't know. I mean, this is all weird to discuss, and I can understand why people would be, oh, my God. But at the end of the day, this is a private entity. They can do whatever the fuck they want. So this shouldn't be a surprise at all. And so that's, I don't know. To me, they're making a little bit of a big deal over this, and it's kind of a nothing burger, if you ask me. And then the whole business of, oh, well, you can't have these displays. Well, you can't have any displays. And that's, I think, if you want to keep things on the up and up in the workplace, what's wrong with that? They're equally saying you can't have your wacko Republican shit and you can't have your LGBTQ plus and your BLM shit. Fuck you all. You come in here, you pray to Jesus, none of your paraphernalia. And then you go help some refugees. Whatever. At the end of the day, I don't give a shit. Just as long as that the people that they're bringing in, that they're helping, they actually keep helping them. So I don't know. I think people are always looking for something to be up in arms about. And this is the latest thing. All right. There is a story going around, local TV station Fox 17. About how much better health you can be in if you have a dog. You're damn right. Okay, this is interesting. Let's check it out.
All right, Candace, thanks so much. Well, they say dogs are a man's or a woman's best friend, and health experts are saying this is true, especially when it comes to your health. Many of us have a furry friend at home who we love to do things with, whether it be playing with toys, snuggling, or even walking your dog. In fact, January is National Walk Your Dog Month. Here to talk to us this morning live over Zoom about the benefits of owning a dog, Shanthi Apello, registered dietitian and health and wellness spokesperson for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Shanthi, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And who do we?
By the way, this is one of those fuzzy faced doodle dogs that everybody has. I think I'm finding that a lot of people either love these dogs or hate them. Now, I love them. There is not a dog that exists that I don't like.
We have with us this morning as well.
This is Benny. He's about three.
Hey!
And he's got a bowl of cucumbers here, so he's looking at the camera all nicely.
Oh, Benny eats cucumbers.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Well, I'm so happy you're joining us this morning. And, Benny, thanks so much for...
If O'Neill were on the couch, she would have to feed him shit.
...for joining us as well. So tell us a little bit about those benefits of owning a dog.
Yeah, sure. So plenty of health benefits there for the dog, of course. I think.
Imagine she busts out a jar of peanut butter.
Just as surprised as you are, as I am, that this is National Walk Your Dog Month. I think it's just such a good reminder that it's plays such a big role in prevention of osteoarthritis, diabetes, even in dogs.
All right, I don't think I need to watch this. I'm aware of how much a dog can help your life. This is prime eat frozen shit time for O'Neill at the Eric Zane Show podcast household. And it's really something because you know that he's been searching for frozen morsels when you yell for him and all of a sudden you see this head pull out of the snow and look at you with snow all over his face. You know he's been rooting around in the snow looking for some frozen Tootsies. But Chris writes, sucks on his red rocket. At the end of the day, dogs can either completely befuddle you and make you stress beyond belief, or all that stress relief from petting and taking care of the dog and loving up the dog. So I don't know. I think at the end of the day, you got a lot of bad stress and a lot of good stress. I think that people might actually overstate the health benefits of dogs. I will say, though, that dogs keeping veterans that are all fucked up in check is a sight to behold. I had a guy in here when I was doing interviews in here. For what the fuck is that name of that? Jaeger Foundation. You see me wearing the hoodie all the time. Guy who runs that organization with a buddy of his who, I don't know, a hand grenade went off in his face or something, and he was all fucked up. So he's all just a disaster. And he brings it, and the dog is in here, Jaeger, with him. And the guy starts like having a, he starts freaking out. The dog climbs in his lap. It's incredible. We need these dogs with these veterans that are completely off their rocker. That is the only way we are learning that we can get these guys to chill out. All right? It's bad enough that they're on our roads, they're in our stores. If we have them with a dog, there's a less chance that they're going to pull out an AK and lay waste to the entire inside of Meijer. By the way, take your dog for a walk. No, it's freezing. I'm not moving. Unfortunately, I am short on time today, folks. Thank you so much for being here. Go Lions. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. I am not ready for yet another playoff game. Come see me if you can at Bosco's tonight. I'll be there at 5 p.m. I'd love to serve you food. Till next time, folks, thank you so much for being here, and bye-bye.